Hey everybody, Mark here with another commentary and analysis, this time about the virtue of doubt. In these commentaries, I talk about the inspiration, ideas, and research that goes into each post, so if you like the article, you should check out these commentaries. The virtue of doubt, this article came from two places. The first one was from, as with many articles, it's a little bit of like an echo or a response to the previous article. So I wrote the previous article, Why You Can't Trust Yourself. If you haven't read that, I recommend reading that before this one, as it gives a little bit of context or background, or it kind of echoes the same theme. But Why You Can't Trust Yourself, the big thing in that is that it's just tons and tons of psychological research kind of showing that our brains are really inefficient, we're full of biases, and there's just a lot of like potholes in our memory and our perceptions of things. So kind of the whole point of that article is like, you shouldn't be so certain in your own beliefs and perceptions, and you should be questioning things, and here's a bunch of reasons why. Well, that article, people liked it a lot. It did pretty well. But I got a lot of responses from people basically saying like, okay, so what? Like, I can't trust myself, my own brain's unreliable, my memory's flawed, I have all these cognitive biases and stereotypes and stuff going on, so what? What should I do? Why does this matter? Where's the kind of actionable advice or the argument here for why this is important? And so this article is kind of a response to that. This is more of, whereas that article was more the scientific angle on this subject, this article is more like the moral angle on this subject. The second place that this came from is it's actually chunks of it were taken out of the book. So the whole thing about super beliefs was a concept that I initially used in an early draft of my book. And the Jim Jones story was also used in the book. And then just a couple small things here. There are actually in the book, I could tell you that there's an entire chapter about this subject, that both of these articles cover. So, it is a subject that is deeply, deeply discussed in the book. So it wasn't hard to, you could even say that the previous article was kind of emerged as a result of all the research I did for that chapter in the book. And then this article is kind of like the outtakes or the sections that weren't quite good enough to make it into the book. So I took those sections and those segments, reworked them a little bit, expanded on them. And then I've always, for a long time now, I've wanted to do... It's the virtue of doubt has kind of been a title that I've had in my head for a really long time. And I wrote an article in 2013 called Why I'm Always Wrong and So Are You. It's actually one of my favorite articles on the site. And I tried to kind of make an argument in that article that being uncertain of yourself is a good thing. Like it's a virtuous thing. But I don't think... Again, the moral angle wasn't really hit very hard. And so I really wanted to do that with this one, to say that, like, okay, not only should you be uncertain of yourself and full of doubt, but doubt is a good thing. Doubt, like, makes the world a better place. And yes, it causes you to be anxious, but anxiety can be a good thing, and anxiety exists for very good reasons. And so I really wanted to get that point across, as well as I could. I'm definitely not the first person to take this kind of more moral angle. That's for sure. I mean, philosophically speaking, people, you know, the ancient Greeks, going back to Socrates and the Stoics and later Seneca and all of them, like there's a long tradition in philosophy about kind of the virtue of accepting what you don't know and being willing to live with ambiguity. and why that's a good thing for both your own health, but the health of the people around you. More recently, a lot of people who talk about this, Sam Harris, the very outspoken atheist author, talks about this subject quite a bit. Ryan Holiday is a writer who's been writing a lot about this subject. That's all that's coming to me off the top of my head. I know there's more. I'm like completely blanking right now. But you kind of see this, a little bit of a revival of this like Stoic philosophy happening right now with kind of the Silicon Valley crowd and startup people and everything. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think it's part of it is, well, let me put it this way. And this is actually, I had a section that I was going to add to this post, but I didn't add it, for two reasons. One, it just felt kind of tangential, and it would have made the article way too long. But the other reason is, I have some articles coming out in June that cover this topic with a lot more depth. But I think one side effect of the internet, of having all this, like this sea of information available to us at all times, I think it's having kind of opposite or contradictory effects on most people. Some people, on the one hand, when granted this like sea of information, what they do is they just kind of cocoon themselves in evidence of what they already believe, and so they become more extreme in their beliefs, because when you have kind of infinite information and infinite access to information, it's very easy to fall into that tendency. But I think a lot of people kind of either explicitly or intuitively understand that this danger, and they try not to do that. And so the only other alternative reaction to all this information is to become more accepting of ambiguity and understanding, you know, the more information that's present, the more unclear things are. And this is something that's been apparent in my own life, in my own research. You know, it's even back in my early 20s when I was researching like social skills and dating advice and social psychology. You dig deep enough and you quickly reach a point where it's like, wait, there's a lot of contradictory information. A lot of the experts in the field are uncertain about certain things. A lot of things are debated. If you dig into evolutionary psychology and biology, it's the same story. If you dig into gender, and the history of gender, it's the same story. There's still like very fundamental disagreements over like just the most basic premise of information available. And the same thing with nutrition, same thing with all of these things. And so after a while, I just kind of reached the point where I was like, okay, nothing is completely certain. It's something, there's been a lot of publicity lately about how like something like 40% of social science is not reproducible. Like you can't reproduce some of these test results and experiment results, or there's experiments that were reproducible back in the 1950s that suddenly the last 10 years are not reproducible anymore. And so the whole knowledge itself is just very much in flux and very complex. And I think if you're a smarter person, the only logical conclusion that you can take from that is that no singular perspective is capital T true. Everybody has their story. Everybody has what feels more true to them. There's a lot of evidence pointing in various directions, but at the end of the day, there's no capital T true. And it's been a huge, since I've reached that conclusion, it's made my life much better, because it's allowed me to let go of a lot of these super beliefs that I used to latch onto. I had super beliefs about people. I had super beliefs about men and women and sex. I had super beliefs about politics. And I've slowly been able to kind of relinquish those over the past 2 or 3 years. And I really just feel that it's made me a better, more whole and loving and present person as well, I guess you could say.